Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles. Are we ready to look into the Word of God this morning, church? Amen. I know sometimes on these rainy mornings it's a little bit harder to focus, but I pray that we'll take some time, that we will set our hearts to hear from the Lord today. And what we're going to go over today is going to be huge for your home. But the principles that we're going to go over today are not just for your home. They are going to be huge for your work life. They are going to be huge for your church life. We're going to make a lot of very practical applications to the home. But church, the message this morning is for everybody in just about every situation. Because we are going to be looking at our tongues, our words, the things that we say and how we say them. You know, we've been looking at this matter of home improvement this summer. The thing about home improvement, whether it's in a physical sense or in a spiritual sense, is that it requires constant attention. It is a continual process. That is one of the glorious things that I have learned about home ownership, is that this idea of perfection, that one day we're actually going to get everything done and just be able to enjoy it for what it is a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's awful. So if you look at it like we're chasing perfection, I'm going to tell you, you're always going to be frustrated. Because there's always going to be something to do. There will always be an area where the kids have peeled the paint or dented the walls. There will always be work that needs to be done. And so it is with our spiritual lives as well. If you are waiting for the moment when your family is perfect, you will always be frustrated. But if you can learn to appreciate the process of what God is trying to accomplish, you can engage this journey of home improvement and enjoy and appreciate the process. Now, when we talk about the process of home improvement, today we are going to talk about a factor that is key to maintaining our homes. And that is our communication, our words, what we say and how we use them. You know, at first, it can be hard to believe that something so minuscule as our tongue can make such a major impact. They say we speak at least 7,000 words a day. Does that surprise you? In a way, yes. In a way, no. I would have a hard time remembering 70 of the words I said yesterday. Amen? I mean, the older I get, the harder it is. I think it's kind of a defense mechanism so I can look at my wife and genuinely say, I don't remember that, but I don't know. Something you develop the longer you're married, I guess. But when you start to do the math, you realize if I said at least 7,000 words and I can barely remember 70 of them, that means 99% of what I said yesterday was said in such a way that I just let it go. Without really taking hold of the impact that words can make. Yet words are not insignificant. Oh, we may try to teach our kids to downplay them. Sticks and stones, we say, and break our bones, but words will never hurt us. But we know that's not true. We know that the words we use and the ways we communicate matter. And the Bible is clear that words are impactful. Proverbs 15 and verse number 4 says this, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach or a break in the spirit. I tell you, one of the most convicting verses in Proverbs on the tongue comes from Proverbs 18:21, where the Bible says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Boy, that's a far cry from sticks and stones. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say matters. The tongue can be the spark that shares a fire for warmth, or the tongue can spit fire for war. And I'm going to tell you, church, our words go a long way to building up or breaking down our homes. And so we cannot consider this topic of home improvement this summer without considering the words we use and whether we are using our words to be builders or breakers. Let's look at what Paul writes to us in Ephesians 4 and verse number 29. He says, let no corrupt communication. Would you read it with me in unison? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication, he says, proceed out of your mouth. So what does this mean? Roman numeral 1, if you're taking notes, it simply means this: stop the garbage. It means stop the garbage. We are called to stop allowing garbage to come out of our mouths. Now, it's important to realize that homes often suffer the brunt of filterless interactions. We talk to people in our homes in ways we would never talk to people at work, in ways we would never talk to people at church, in ways we would never talk to people around the neighborhood. Homes often suffer the brunt of filterless interactions. Perhaps it's because our guard is down. It's where we feel the most comfortable. Some would even say that it's natural for certain of these interactions to take place. Oh, there's going to be name calling and occasional yelling, and sometimes a passive aggressive manipulation will take place. You know, siblings fight, and spouses sometimes bicker, or it's just my nature, etc., etc., etc. But what is natural for the culture cannot be received as normal for the Christian. Stop the garbage. And I'm going to tell you, church, as we stop and pause even here, we have got to beware and take note, because it is so easy to grow accustomed to allowing sinful garbage to come out of our mouths. And Paul calls us to stop the garbage. So what does he mean when he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth? Well, that word corrupt means that which is rotten, that which is bad, that which is worthless. It almost gives a picture of a rotten fruit or vegetable, or of a rotten animal carcass. You ever grabbed a rotten piece of fruit? I can remember we had some fruit in one of them little fruit drawers in the fridge, and I can remember I wanted a piece of fruit, so I opened the fridge, and I opened the door, and I reached in and grabbed, and I will never forget the feeling of my thumb going through the fruit. It was awful. I didn't want fruit no more. I don't think I've eaten fruit since. That's not true. But every time I go to that drawer, I remember. Rotten fruit's a nasty thing. You ever had a rotten carcass? I remember the time we had a possum crawl under our deck and die. Oh, it was glorious. You hope it just goes away, but it doesn't. The stench just gets worse and worse. So what do? I pried up the planks of the deck, and I found it in all its maggot-infested glory. I'd never seen so many maggots before in my life. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to touch it. So what I do, I went and got a bucket of bleach water. I dumped the bleach water on her, Brother Barry. This few plume of gases. I almost could hear the maggots squealing in pain. I'm like, well, that's not what I wanted to do. So what do? Well, charcoal's supposed to, like, stop smell. So I went and got some of them old charcoal ash from the grill and kind of shoveling it on it. And then you tap the deck back down, and you hope it goes away, right? I'm going to tell you, rot is nasty. Rot is nasty. You get a hold of something rotten, and it will ruin your day. Amen? But when we let corrupt garbage rot come out of our mouth, I'm going to tell you, it can ruin our homes. It can create an atmosphere that is so unpleasant that no one wants to be there. It can create harm and spread misery. Boy, you think it was bad sitting on the deck while that possum was rotting underneath of us. I'm going to tell you, some of our homes, and we don't even stop to appreciate how full of rot and garbage our homes have become, how unpleasant relationships have become, because we let corrupt communication just flow from our mouths. And I'm going to tell you, we are tearing down, destroying, and breaking down our families when we allow corrupt communication to proceed from our mouth. And the biblical admonition is clear. We have to stop the garbage. Colossians 3 and verse number 8 puts it this way, "But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Garbage has no place in the Christian life. Further in Ephesians chapter 4, just a few verses from where we were reading in verse number 31, Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." We got to stop the garbage. Well, preacher, what is this garbage that you're speaking of? Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. Some of this garbage is when we tear down that which should be sacred. We get in our homes and how often we use the name of the Lord in vain. You know, we've almost become desensitized to it in our culture. We don't even realize when they do it on the TV anymore. We don't even realize how using the name of the Lord in vain, using it without recognizing the weight and glory of who God is, the garbage just flows from this culture, and we become so accustomed to the culture that the garbage flows from our lips. We tear down that which should be sacred. We use the name of the Lord in vain. We belittle, criticize, or complain about the things of God. We complain about the body of Christ, our fellow Christians, fellow church members, our pastors and our teachers, about the Word of God. When we talk about the Word of God, we don't hold it in high esteem. We trivialize perhaps even our relationship with our spouse or kids. You know, we say things to and about our family that we would punch somebody else for saying. And yet we take these most sacred relationships and we handle them in such casual ways. What is the garbage that we need to stop? We need to stop tearing down that which should be sacred. But we also need to stop tearing down those who should be safe. I think it's a shame that in the place where people should feel the safest, our homes, is often where people are cut to shreds by the tongue. Psalm 52 in verse 2 says this, "The tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully." And in the place and context where people should feel the safest, they are often cut to shreds. What do? We lie and deceive with our words and thereby destroy trust. Young people, listen to me. Be honest with your mama and your daddy. You mess up, fess up. Don't hide it. Don't deflect. Don't detract. Don't distract. Because you cannot have a true relationship if it's not built on trust. And trust has to be built on transparency. By the way, spouses, when you mess up, fess up. When you mess up, fess up. Don't lie, don't deceive, don't detract, don't distract, don't deflect. Don't do any of those things. We lie and we deceive and thereby we destroy trust. We lash out in anger and frustration and thereby create fear and barriers. Boy, how many children have been on the end of a sharp word from a mama or a daddy? A sharp word that did nothing but tear down. A sharp word that did nothing but put barriers in place. How many marriages have had walls built between because the words that we use are being controlled by anger and frustration? We lash out in anger and frustration and thereby create fear and barriers. We are passive aggressive and manipulate and thereby undermine any real relationship we could have. We react and spew garbage into our home, which in turn leads another to do what? To react and to spew garbage into our homes. And sometimes we wonder how our homes end up with people who don't like being around each other. But I'm going to tell you, it's really not a mystery if we are constantly slinging maggot-filled rot speech at one another. It's really not a mystery. And Paul looks at believers, and his message is simple. He says, stop the garbage. Stop the garbage. But I want you to see what else Paul says here. Would you read verse 29 in unison with me again? What does he say? He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So as we talk about being a builder or a breaker, Paul begins by telling us to stop the garbage, but he continues at the end of the verse by commanding us to spread the grace. By commanding us to spread the grace. In other words, there are two sides to this coin. We have to stop the garbage, but we also have to spread grace. Now, what is grace? Grace, by definition, is undeserved kindness. Let that sink in. Grace, by definition, is undeserved kindness. So let me make an application. It doesn't then matter who the other person is or what the other person has done. Because if they had to deserve it, it wouldn't be grace. Paul doesn't say stop the garbage, but speak to them however they've spoken to you. Paul commands us as Christians to stop the garbage and to spread grace. So it doesn't matter who the other person is. It doesn't matter what the other person has done. We are to speak and spread grace. If you have any questions on this, please see Jesus' command on what we should do to our enemies, which hopefully you're not considering anyone within your own household an enemy. But even if you do get there, let's look at the words of Jesus for the Christian. Matthew 5 and verse number 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That is our responsibility to our enemies. How much more to our families? So that means no one in no situation is exempt. That means it doesn't matter what my spouse has done, it is my responsibility to speak and spread grace. That means it doesn't matter what my kids have done, it is my responsibility to speak and to spread grace. If I am a follower of Jesus Christ, I cannot get away from that responsibility, from that command, from that call. It is my responsibility to speak and to spread grace. Because if they had to deserve it in any way, then it ain't grace no more. Understand that grace, by definition, is undeserved kindness. Now, church, let me bring out something else here this morning. This is important for us to note. The Bible doesn't command us here to exchange our corrupt speech for clean speech. Well, that's often what we think we need to do. We just need to get rid of the corrupt, and we need to just have clean speech. So no more cursing, no more dirty jokes, no more anger, no more name calling. I'm going to get rid of all of the corrupt speech, and I just need to have clean speech. That is not what the Bible tells us to do. Did you notice that? The Bible here doesn't command us to exchange our corrupt speech for clean speech. Rather, the Bible here commands us to exchange our corrupt speech for constructive speech. In other words, speech that edifies, speech that builds up the other. It's not enough just to clean up. We need to build them up. And that goes back to grace. You see, grace by definition is undeserved kindness, but grace by design, its design is to empower the recipient to move forward. In other words, grace is for growth. Grace is for growth. And so then the words that I speak ought to be spoken in such a way that they would edify, the Bible says, which means to build up the hearer. In other words, it's not enough just to avoid breaking down. We are to actively build up. Let me ask you, is that characteristic of our homes? Is that characteristic of our marriages? Of our parenting? Are our homes places where people are built up? Boy, that's a challenging and convicting thought. That our homes should be places where people are built up, where people hear grace-filled words that help them move forward, that help them to overcome, that help them to fulfill potential, that help them to get back up when they fall, to keep on going when they're tired, to find healing from their hurts, to receive the love and forgiveness of Christ, that help them to seek King Jesus and his kingdom. Are our homes places where people are built up? I think it's important to point out here that our words building up does not mean that we ignore the hard things. It doesn't mean that we don't correct. It doesn't mean that we don't give instruction. It doesn't mean that we're not willing to have hard conversations because they make people uncomfortable. No, Jesus was willing to have hard conversations. He looked at Peter. He looked at Peter and said, "Thou savorest not the things of God." He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He also looked at Peter and worked to restore him after his fall. And he asked him, "Lovest thou me?" To draw him back into fellowship with him. You see, we are still called, Ephesians 4 in verse number 15, to do what? To speak the truth in love. Why? That we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, the point of our speech, the point of truth in love is what? That we might grow up in Christ. Grace is for growth. And so I got to ask a question of myself this morning. Is my mouth a means of grace? If I look at the words that I have said over this past week, is my mouth a means for grace? You know, it requires that we consider both the message and the motive. And I wonder too, church, perhaps this point has less to do with the language that we use and more to do with the love that we use with it. And this is the calling for the Christian. And if I stop and apply this truth to the last week of my life, even the last day of my life, I already confess to you, I remember maybe 1% of what I said yesterday. If I reach the 7,000 word threshold, I don't remember a whole lot of what I said, which causes me to wonder if I gave a whole lot of thought to what I said before I said it. The truth is, a lot of us are just plain trigger happy with our tongue. We shoot first and ask questions later. But that is not the way we accomplish what God has given us to do. That is how we are breakers, not how we become builders. You cannot be trigger happy with your tongue and be a builder. And perhaps that's part of the problem. You know, perhaps it would be good for us to draw a little bit of truth from the old Andy Griffith show. If you remember Andy's old deputy, Mr. Barney Fife, he was pretty trigger happy. And so Andy had a rule for Barney. And that was Barney had one bullet and it went in his shirt pocket, not in the gun. That meant before old Barney could pull the trigger, he had to do what? He had to load it up and think about what he was doing. You know, some of us, it would be good for us to admit before God this morning, perhaps we're a little more trigger happy with our tongue than we ought to be. And church, I'm going to tell you, if we want to be builders and not breakers, if we want to stop the garbage and spread the grace, a little more of a pause and a little more of a purpose to our words would go a long way to accomplishing that. James 1 in verse number 19 reminds us, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In Proverbs 17, beginning in verse number 27, the Bible says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Perhaps a little more pause and a little more purpose will help us spread the grace. Grace, by definition, is undeserved kindness. Grace, by design, empowers for growth. How do we do something like this? I mean, you know, slow down, think about it more. All that's good and helpful. But I got to be honest, I just don't know if I can do that. Because you see, it just kind of goes against who I am. I've always been this way. I have a quick wit, some people say. You know, they say the tongue is the only instrument or tool that gets sharper with use. Some people say, well, that's great. I'd love to do that. I'd love to see that. But preacher, you don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. You don't know my kid. And I'd love to think that I could do this on a regular basis, but it just doesn't feel possible. Some of you are thinking, well, preacher, I love this idea of stop the garbage and spread the grace, but you know, there's been so much garbage in our house for so long. I just don't know. How do you change something that has been such a big part of your existence for so long? I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's easy to become discouraged. Because we recognize, James 3 beginning in verse 7, we recognize what James teaches. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Anybody can relate to that this morning? The tongue can no man tame. You know, you and I might not be able to tame our tongues, but I've got good news this morning. Because there is one who can. And we find the answer in verse number 30. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now look at verse number 30, where he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So what is the answer to stopping the garbage and spreading the grace? What is the answer to stopping the garbage and spreading the grace? We find it right here in verse number 30. I might not be able to tame my tongue, but God can. And what I need to do is simply surrender to God. Do you want to stop the garbage? Do you want to spread the grace? Do you want to be a builder and not a breaker? Then surrender to God. Very simply, the key, and this makes perfect sense when you think about it, the key to relaying grace to others is learning to receive grace from God yourself. You see, the Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit of God desires to supernaturally do what you naturally cannot do. And that includes changing your words, make you a builder and not a breaker. The Holy Spirit of God, if you are a believer, if you have received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God is at work in your life. He dwells within you. He sealed you unto the day of redemption. And he is at work in your heart and life. And he is able to supernaturally do what you naturally cannot. And so if we want to stop the garbage and spread the grace, church, we have got to surrender to God. In other words, recognize, receive, and respond to the work of the Spirit in your life. What do I mean by that? When I say recognize the work of the Spirit, one of the things the Spirit of God does is bring conviction into our hearts. In other words, when those words roll off our lips, the Holy Spirit will prick our hearts. And He will say, bucko, you shouldn't have said that. Or you shouldn't have said that way. Because you can do a right thing a wrong way. That's like my specialty. And the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. You know, so often the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and what do? We go, oh, well, I messed up. That's not recognizing and receiving the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's not. What is that? That is resisting. That is grieving the Spirit. That is quenching the work of the Spirit in your life. When you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life, you need to recognize that I have sinned with my mouth. Receive the work of, recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. Receive the work. In other words, we recognize the conviction, and when we receive it, it leads us to confession. That means, confession simply means that we agree with God. That I should not have said that. I should not have called them that. I should not have allowed those words to come out of my mouth. And God, you are right. That is corrupt, and that is rotten, and that is wrong. And we agree with God about the nature of our sin. And so what do? We recognize the conviction. We receive it as we confess it. And then what do we need to do? That last step, we recognize, we receive, and we respond. That means we receive that correction and we seek to make the situation right. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves after we have humbled ourselves before God. We need to humble ourselves before the offended party. I will tell you, some of us, it would go a long way to spreading grace in our homes if we recognize that we have been spreading garbage. If we go home even today and we say, you know what, kids? Daddy's been wrong about some things. Mama's been wrong about some things. If we go to our spouse and say, you know, honey, I've been wrong about some things, and I need you to forgive me in this area. I need to make this right. You see, we've got to receive the conviction. We don't like being convicted. But we need to receive that conviction. We need to engage in confession. Agree with God. If we confess our sins, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we need to make correction. We need to make things right. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to do the work in our hearts and lives, but we have to receive it. We cannot grieve Him and fight Him on what He wants to do. We have to surrender ourselves to God. Romans 6:13 refers to us yielding our members, or the parts of our body, as instruments of righteousness, either unto sin or yielding ourselves unto God. Surrender to God. Receive the conviction. Surrender to God. But I'm going to tell you, to stop the garbage and spread the grace, it requires that a cleansing take place. You know, Mama and Daddy had a really impactful illustration of that growing up. And that's when mean or dirty or rotten words would come out of your mouth. They would help to apply some cleansing to the infected area. Can I get a witness? Good old-fashioned bar of soap. Clean your mouth out with, only happened a couple of times, but man, kind of like them snakes, forever burned into my brain. An impactful illustration, to be sure. But while cleaning the mouth with soap is an unforgettable object lesson, I'm going to tell you, church, it's an insufficient remedy. Because words come not from the lips, but from the well of the heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Read that next part with me. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. In other words, what comes off our lips is a reflection of our heart. And mom and daddy can put that bar of soap in my mouth, but they could never extend it to my heart. Only the Lord can cleanse the heart. And that's why, church, if we want to be builders and not breakers, if we want to spread grace and not garbage, we cannot read verse 29 without verse 30, because we have to surrender to the work of God in our life. Because until we let God get a hold of our heart, we will always have trouble with our words. So, church, I ask this morning, is your mouth a means of grace? Is your mouth a means of grace? James 3 and verse number 10 says this. James chapter 3 and verse number 10. Give him a chance to get it on the screen for you. James writes, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. What if I took a hammer? Yes, I know, this is a girly hammer. But that's okay, because it belongs to a girl. Mrs. Griner, this is your hammer, okay? You can collect it after. But what if I took a hammer? And I came to your house. I walked inside your front room, and I went, bam, right into your wall. Hey, Eric, bam. Remodel, that's right. That's a good spirit. Hey, Brother Dan, bam, 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 bam. Hey, Josiah, you want to try? Bam. He would. What if I came to your home and just started breaking down your walls? What if I went into your kitchen and busted up the glass top of your stove? I know, look at that. Some of you ladies, your ovens. What if, now I'm really going to meddle. What if I went to your essential oil dispenser? It's not a sermon if I'm not meddling, right? What if I came into your home and just started busting stuff up? Some of you would lose your mind. You would lose your mind. And yet some of us, before the day is out, will take the hammer of our words and bust up our homes far worse than I could bust it up with a hammer. You see, the damage that I could do could be pretty, it is a girl's hammer after all. The damage I could do could be pretty easily repaired. A little mud, a little tape, a little drywall, a little paint. And if the right person's doing it, you would never know I was even there. But the problem is that the damage that we do with our words, it's not nearly as easy to fix. Are we builders or breakers? Your words and the way you use them have the power to build up or to break down your home. Church, we have to take this seriously. Because as Proverbs 18:21 reminds us life and death are in the power of the tongue. As Jesus reminds us in Matthew 12, beginning in verse number 36, I say unto you, hear me, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Yes, that includes the 99% of the words I can't remember. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. He says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We're not really going to be able to engage in home improvement without addressing the matter of our words. Builders or breakers. May God help us to spread grace and to be builders of those around us for His glory.